Well, tonight, open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews once more. Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll just read the one verse that we read this morning and continue the message on faith. We've been preaching the series on faith that we've simply entitled Faith Fantastic. And we spoke this morning about the characteristic of faith, that faith works. Now, there are a lot of things that fail, but faith works. Amen. Faith is the key to victory. Faith is the solution for our problems and the answer to our needs. Now, not just simply faith alone without it having an object. It obviously must be based upon something. Amen. And it's not philosophical. And it's not social, it's theological, amen. That's the kind of faith that we need. And so we want to continue talking tonight about faith working. Verse number 20 of Hebrews 11 says this, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." And so, as we pointed out this morning, this faith of Isaac is linked to the blessing of Abraham. Faith is not something that is static. It is something that is dynamic. It is something that operates. It is something that works. And so when Abraham died, faith didn't die. When Abraham died, the promise of God didn't die. When Abraham died, the work of God did not end. Nay, it continued in his son, Isaac. And so, when it came time that Isaac was to bless his boys, he blessed them how? Based upon faith. Now, we talked about two aspects of Isaac's life this morning. We talked about Isaac and his boyhood, how that he was reared in faith, how that he was raised to know the God of Abraham his father, how to build altars, how to dig wells, and how, most importantly, to keep himself unspotted by the world. Amen. And so, his childhood began and consisted of faith. He knew what it was all about. Then we talked about Isaac and his bride. He received his bride. He loved his bride, having never seen her, having never known her, nor anything about her except where she came from. Amen. He loved her and he accepted her based upon the plan of his father. Amen. That's how we got saved. According to the plan of the father, he called us, he chose us to be a part of the bride for his son. So faith operated in his boyhood. Faith operated in his calling of his bride and the choosing of his bride. And so tonight we want to continue this message on faith working and deal with the final two points of the message, which simply are this. We're going to talk about Isaac and his babies are his boys, and we're going to talk about Isaac and his blessing, which is specifically what is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 20. Now, you'll remember in the book of Genesis that Isaac had two sons. We read this morning where that Rebekah was barren. She could not have children. Now, the Bible tells us that Isaac married Rebekah at the age of 40 years. For 20 years, she was barren. She could not have children. But after 20 years, when Isaac prayed to God, he entreated the Lord on behalf of his wife. She was no longer barren, and she had two boys. Not simply two boys, but two twins. Amen. Now, I want to tell you, that's the way God works. Amen. When God blesses, he'd have been happy just to have one son like his father Abraham did when Isaac was born of a miracle birth. But neighbor, when Isaac, after 20 years, decided, I better take this to God and talk to God about it, not only gave him one son, but he gave him two. They were twins. However, these boys were very different. Now, you that have had many children, my mother has, Anne's mother did, know that no matter how many you have, almost every one of them is different. Well, that's the way that these children were. These two boys, if you will, were very different. But not only that, the relationship that they had with their mother and father also developed a little differently. Now it appears that at the age of 60, when these boys were born, and as they began to progress and to grow, and this relationship began to develop, that something began to happen to the faith of Isaac. What the reason is, I'm not real sure. And so the first thing that we see with reference to Isaac and his boys here is what I simply call a declining father. Rather than Isaac being strengthened in his faith and getting stronger, rather the opposite appears to be true. That Isaac began to enter into some type of winter time period. And his faith actually began to lessen its impact and its effectiveness in his life because of what we read in the Scriptures here. Well, first of all, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis because that's where we're going to be primarily. We simply needed to read the one verse in Hebrews 11. In Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis 25, I want us to read here a verse. Verse number 28. And we see this nature, this character of this spiritual man beginning to move more toward the fleshly man. In Genesis 25 and verse 28, listen to what it says. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Now, I want to tell you, of all the reasons that I could think of that the Holy Spirit would have to put of why Isaac was to love his son Esau, his firstborn, the last that I would pick would be that he loved him because he brought him deer meat. Now, wouldn't that be for you? And so it appears that Isaac at this point in his life, and I'm not quite sure really how old he was, but they were born at age 60, and what it would be middle age in that time when folks lived older than they do now, for whatever reason, I don't know when middle age would be, but I know that in our age, men go through what they call middle age crazies. And people begin to act kind of unusual sometime because of hormonal changes in their body, and God only knows what else happens to make us do some of the things that we do and say some things. I don't know what happened in his life, but I do know this. There came a time in his life when it appeared that he began to decline spiritually, for he began to enjoy more the things that he experienced through the senses of his body, and he enjoyed the taste of venison. Now, that's all right. It's okay to love your boy, but if you simply love him because he's a hunter and because he brings you deer meat, I think that might be just a little bit shallow, and we find that even to be important in the what he thinks is the last days of his life. And so, look over, if you will, Genesis number 35, Genesis chapter number 35, and hold on right there. Put your finger in Genesis 35, and we're going to read a couple of verses here together. I want you to see how that Isaac's senses seem to have kind of not functioned properly, at least his spiritual senses. All right, you got Genesis 35. We're going to read first Genesis 27, verse 1. And I want you to look at these two verses. Genesis 27, verse 1, and in Genesis 35, we're going to read verse 27, 28. Listen. Genesis 27, verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, the weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me some savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying, Esau, I'm old, my eyes are beginning to dim, and I don't know when I'm going to die. But I said, tell you this, I want you to go out and get me one more good mess of deer meat before I die. Come back here so that I can bless you. Amen. So he already was looking toward the grave as though his life was over. But I want you to look back over now in Genesis 35, where I asked you to turn, and verse number 27. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. Now look, and the days of Isaac were 180 years. Now that's 180 years old. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now that's very important. Isaac had so declined emotionally, perhaps he thought physically, spiritually, to the point that he thought he was going to die. And the thing that he was concentrating on most of all at that time was the fact that he could have a Last Supper, like a prisoner's meal. He'd like to have one more dish of Esau's venison cooked up, that savory meat that he talked about. When the fact of the matter is, he wasn't anywhere near death. He lived to be 180 years old. Well, how old, you say, was he in Genesis 27, verses 1 through 4, where he thought he was going to die? I don't know, but I will tell you this. After what was about to transpire, where that Jacob was have to leave home and go into the house of Laban, I know a period of time passed before Isaac ever died, because the Scripture just told us in Genesis 35 that his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now, what happened while Jacob was in the house of Laban? Well, number one, he had to work 7 years for who he thought was Rachel that turned out to be Leah. He was tricked. He reaped what he sowed is what happened. Then he had to work another 7 years to get Rachel, the one that he really loved. So there's 14 years knocked off right there. Then, before Isaac died, there was the reconciliation of Jacob and Esau, who had fell out, we're going to find out. And Jacob had produced 12 children during that period of time. Huh? Now I want to tell you, you've got to put 12 years to that at least to give a little time for recovery. And so we're talking about at a very minimum 20 to 25 years before Isaac was ever going to die. And so something tells me that something was fading in this man's life. We saw a man that at least thought he was declining physically, but one thing for sure, he was declining spiritually. Why? Because he was about to bless the wrong son. And that was Esau. Amen. So we see a problem here with these boys. We see a declining father in the midst of them, and we see a divided family is produced. In that same verse, in Genesis 25 and verse 28, where it said Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, the verse closed this way: but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, we see what we call favorites being played here, where the daddy loved one child and mama loved another child. And any way that you put that, it ain't right, it don't work right, and it never produces good. And so, right off the bat, we see a divided family. Because of this diverse affection, we see that it not only separated the boys, which is what's going to happen in children, but it also caused a division between the relationship of Isaac and Rebekah. Now, I want you to see what happens when faith falters in your family and in your household. I want to tell you, it divides that family and that household. And so we see these problems developing here with relations, with the relationship of the boys, with reference to the faith of this man Isaac. However, all is not lost. Why? Because there wasn't just a declining father and a divided family, but there was a divine future. There was somebody else involved with this family besides these four. He was the Lord God of heaven. Amen. If you look for a moment in Genesis 25, back up to verse number 23, listen to what God told Rebekah when she realized there was two children in there, when she was having some problems. A lot of fighting going on in the womb. Listen to what God said in verse 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So you see, Isaac had an idea about the future of the family and who was going to be blessed and who wasn't. Rebekah had an idea about the future of the family and who was going to be blessed and who wasn't. I want to tell you something. God already had an idea about it. God, before they were ever born, told them, hey, I want to tell you why you're having the thumping and the bumping in your womb. She thought something was bad wrong. Because you got two nations in your womb, and them two's are fighting already. And he said, I want to tell you something else significant about them. The elder shall serve the younger. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that that's not the way that it operated in the ordinary Hebrew household. The elder was always the master and lord of the house in absence of the father, and especially after he had died. And so, I want to tell you, God had other ideas, all right? So, maybe Isaac's faith has faltered. Does that negate, nor does that distort or defeat the purpose of God? No, it doesn't. Why? Because faith works. Faith works. And so, let's move for the moment from Isaac and his boys to Isaac and this blessing. For Hebrews 11:20 there says that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, there's only one way we can face the future. How's that? By faith. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but we can know who holds tomorrow. Amen. And that's faith. And so this blessing had to do with things to come. It had to do, if you will, with the blessing that originated in what God said to the man Abraham. Now look in Genesis 26. Stay right in that area. I want you to read this promise or this blessing with reference to Isaac the father there. In Genesis 26, verse number 2, "And the Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, and said, Go not down into Egypt. There was a famine in the land. He said, Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Does that not sound a lot familiar to what God said to Abraham in Genesis 12, 15, and 17? Very same blessing and promise that God pronounced upon Abraham. And so this blessing is linked all the way back to him. Now, we see a difference of opinion here. We've got Isaac, his opinion. We've got Rebekah, her opinion. And we've got God and his opinion. The one opinion that really matters. And so we find in the story in the book of Genesis here that whenever it came time after Isaac had told Esau to go out and to kill some venison, that Mama overheard it, and she concocted a plan whereby they could trick old daddy Isaac, who said he couldn't see so good, in order that Jacob might receive the blessing and not Esau. Huh? And so we see that this is not so much the faith of Rebekah, but it is God working behind the scenes in human experience to accomplish what He wants to, even when our faith falters. Now that's important, because that'll give you security. It shouldn't produce laziness. It shouldn't produce anything negative. It should produce absolute security and trust in the Lord. Now, these individuals had problems. I mean, I want to tell you something. When all God's got to work with is Jacob and Esau, He ain't got much to work with. Amen? Now, I want you to look at the way that Hebrews 11:20 refers to these individuals. He does it like this. He refers to them as Jacob and Esau. Now, in the faith chapter, they're not referred to chronologically because Esau was born first, not Jacob. They're not referred to biologically because Esau obviously was older, being the firstborn, but they are referred to there theologically, the way that God looks at them. And He said the elder will serve the younger. So I want to tell you, even when God doesn't have much to work with, He still can accomplish what He wants to. Here are the men. First of all, we find that Esau had no sense of priorities. He had no sense of priorities. In other words, he placed no value upon spiritual things or what God had to say. Now, I want to tell you something. We as the people of God should develop some priorities in our life that gives God His place and gives God His due and gives God His reverence. His reverence. Esau did not develop and did not practice those priorities. First of all, we see that demonstrated in his selection of his wives, of his brides, in Genesis 26 and verse 34. Listen to what the Bible says. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now, what did Abraham say with reference to his son when it came time for him to marry? He made his servant swear that he would not allow his son Isaac to marry one of the daughters of the Canaanites who lived in the land where he was sojourning and dwelling. But he said, go back to the land of my fathers from my own household and bring him a wife from there. Why? God did not want them marrying those Canaanites. Esau didn't care what granddaddy taught. He didn't care about the spiritual truths that were taught by his grandfather, nor the word of God that was spoken through the mouth of Abraham and taught to his own daddy. Rather than pursuing a bride in the same manner that Jacob eventually would, rather he married one of the Canaanite ladies. As a matter of fact, he not only married one, what did it say here? It said he married two there. And so we see he had a problem with priorities in life. Number one, he didn't care what God's will was. He didn't care what God's will was with reference to his marriage. Look over in chapter number 28 of Genesis, verse number 8. It said there, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So, when he saw that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his daddy, he went and got him a daughter of Ishmael. Now, that's like jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Amen. That's not doing a bit better. And so, he had this problem of priorities. Why? Listen, he said because he realized that it didn't please his daddy. He didn't want nothing affecting that relationship with his earthly daddy, but he had absolutely no respect. He had no reference or no priority in his life for the things nor the will of God. Now, I want to be perfectly honest with you. Can I do that? Esau was a decent fellow. If he was, as far as a citizen goes, as far as somebody that you would know, that you would work with, that you would relate to, Esau was a decent fellow. And you'd feel sorry for what happens to him in life and his pursuit. You really would. And he's willing to reconcile with his brother later and just seems like a good fella. But he just had nothing for God. You ever know anybody like that? I've known a lot of people. I mean, good people, good moral people. I mean, good on the job, good to work with and to get along with and everything. But neighbor just don't bring up God. They just ain't got nothing for him and don't care nothing about him. Well, that's the way that Esau was. He wasn't a terribly wicked man as far as we talk about being, adulterous and murderous and that type of thing. No, but he did not have anything for the things of God. Amen. The Bible describes him as a profane person. And so Esau had no sense of priorities in his life. Jacob, he didn't have any principles in his life. He knew what he wanted, and he was willing to do anything he had to do to get what he wanted. Huh? Sure. Not one thing that Jacob got did he get in a decent or a right way. Huh? Now, that tells me something. Now, but the will of God was accomplished. That tells me something. God may agree and bless that to be done, but He may not agree with the means by which it is done. You with me? What Jacob did in either instance was not right. He was not solely to blame. But I want to tell you something. God's purpose was being worked out. And how God was able to do anything out of either one of these boys is amazing to me, but He was able to out of Jacob. So why did God allow to happen what He did, and why did God do what He did? I want to tell you why. One reason. God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. You and I don't see the whole story, amen, like God does. If we did, we wouldn't even take a step outside that door. There'd be some things scare us to death. We knew what was going to happen tomorrow. And so God was able to work out some things. But Jacob, basically, in his old man, his old nature, was a man that did care for the things of God, and he knew what was important with relationship to God. However, he didn't care how he accomplished it or how he got it, he was going to do it. He did not have those principles that he really needed. I think what contributed a lot to that was that he was mama's boy. Amen. And he lived in that divided family. He didn't have the father attention, I believe, that he really needed. And so there were some problems here for this blessing of Isaac to ever even take place and then to come to pass as God had already ordained that it would. How does God get anything done? It's just amazing to me. But God does nonetheless. Now, I don't want us to look at three things with reference to this blessing. First, let's look obviously at Jacob's reward. In Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 26, we see what happened when Isaac was tricked. How did he bless Jacob rather than his son Esau? Genesis 27 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "And his father Isaac said unto him," he thinks it's Esau, but it's Jacob, covered with animal skin, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore give God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." Now, I don't know what smelled good back in them days. But Jacob just killed an animal of the flock and fed him that meat, telling him it's venison, and put the hide on, the hairy hide. And I don't know what they like to smell back then. I know customs around the world are different, but this just caused Isaac to get excited. He said, "Boy, God bless you, you smell like the field." That could be good or bad. It depends on which field it was, wouldn't it? And so he begins to bless him. The Bible says there that he blessed him. He said this. This is how the blessing went, his reward to be. "Therefore," as he blessed him, "God give thee the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn, wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Does that sound familiar? Do you not hear that similarity to the blessing of Abraham we find in the book of Genesis? And so we see that Jacob in this blessing, even though deceiving his father, is being blessed with a reward. A reward. It's never wrong to do, never right to do wrong that good may come. The Bible says that in the New Testament. God didn't honor nor agree these means, but yet Jacob had one thing that Esau did not have. We'll talk about him next week, but that one thing was what? Faith. He hadn't had faith yet to develop principles, but he knew one thing. There was a God in heaven. There was a God made a promise to his granddaddy, and even though he was second born, he wanted to get in on it. Amen. He sure did. And so he was promised a reward here. He was blessed as though he was the elder son. Now, what did that involve? Well, it involved three things. First of all, it involved what I call proprietorship. The blessing of Abraham included that piece of land that was called the land of Canaan that the nation of Israel was going to inherit. It involved a double portion of all the wealth of the household. Amen. Yes, it did. It involved leadership of the family. And so rather than Esau getting it, Jacob was the one that got it because his father blessed him with it, even though deceived. But not only that, not only did it involve the proprietorship in the family, but it involved being priest of the family. Notice, if you will, in those verses we read, in verse number 29, where it says, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. He was to be not only leader of the family, he was to be priest of the family. Now remember, Sinai is almost 400 years away before the priesthood's ever established. We know in the days of Job that the daddy of the home, he was the priest of the family. He offered sacrifices on behalf of the family. He was the spiritual guide of the family. And so here we see this man with no principle, but he has faith, who's going to be spiritual guide of the family. He's going to be priest, if you will. But not only did it involve him being priest, but it involved also the progenitorship of Messiah. Did you notice in verse number 29 that it began, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Now that could not be said of Jacob except through the loins of his sons, which implies what? A blessing to come. Exactly what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20 says, because it's not pointing to Isaac, it's pointing to the seed of Isaac, not Jacob, but Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come through the family tree according to the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so that was his reward. It not only applied to his personal present life, but it applied to his future, the things to come. And you know what? God took this man of no principle, but yet had faith. And he took him away from that mama. By the way, mama never saw this boy again. Daddy did, for Jacob and Esau came and buried him. Jacob came back later. Mama's already dead. Never saw mama again. God separated that boy from mama. And God did some things with him in his experience that we'll talk about next week or next time we preach to change this man from a man that had no principle to a man that understood who God was and how God operated. And when God got through with him, he changed his name from Jacob, a trickster, a conniver, a supplanter, a heel catcher, to Israel, he who has power with God. And so, you know what? Jacob got the reward. You say, well, that ain't fair. May not be fair, but that's God's will. That's God's will. And that's how it comes. Now, listen, let me tell you something. If you ever try to figure God out, you've got your hands full. There was another man of faith that didn't have much principle whose name was Samson. Now, I want to tell you how the Bible introduces this man. And the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. God, looking for some reason, pick a fight with Philistines. And so you know what? He raised up a man named Samson. He didn't have much principle, but I want to tell you one thing he did have. He had faith. I want to tell you, God, if you have that element of faith, he can take a man don't have principle, and he can work his will out, amen. And God can do what he wants to. We see a lot of change in the life of Jacob through a lot of experiences. We didn't see much, a whole lot of life change in this man Samson until the end of his life. And so we see it's a lot similar to Isaac. We begin to see things a little more plainly, amen, when we look back down. As they say, hindsight is 20 vision. So Jacob got the reward. We see his reward. But then we not only see that, we see Esau's regret. In chapter number 27, and verse number 23, the Bible says that he discerned Jacob not because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. And he asked him, was that his son? And he came near, and he blessed him. And so the Bible tells us in verse number 37, when Esau came in and realized what had happened and things had got turned around, first he said, boy, ain't he named right, Jacob? He said that in verse number 36. 37, Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I've made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he cried. And I want to ask you, can you feel compassion for this man? I can. This boy was hurt. This boy's heart was broken. But for the wrong reason. It wasn't because he felt like that he defended God. Now, he wasn't worried about that. He's worried about taking Daddy's place when Daddy was gone. That's all he was worried about. Being head of that family, being the elder. And so Esau had some regret and said, Daddy, don't you have a one blessing? You know what he said? He said, listen, I blessed him and he shall be blessed. If you look back there in Genesis 27 and verse number 33 in the latter part, he said, Thou camest and have blessed him before thou camest. And he said, I blessed him, talking about Jacob. And he said, look, yea, and he shall be blessed. He said, yes, indeed, Jacob shall be blessed. And so Esau was full of regret. Now, if you go back to the book of Hebrews where we were, not chapter 11, but chapter number 12, we're going to see that regret characterized for us here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 16. He's talking about following peace with all men. Verse number 16. Well, let's read verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that oft afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We see that Jacob received the reward. It was Esau that had the regret. Why? Because he had lived his life up to that point with an ignorant attitude toward God and an arrogant attitude toward God. He could have, neighbor, been a little bit different in life, but he didn't think that it was important. God in his foreknowledge knew that, and he chose Jacob. And so we see here that Esau had regrets over losing this birthright. And then I want to ask you something. Whose fault was it? He had regret, all right, but why? I want to tell you why. Because he sold the blessing. Huh? Now, what did he sell it for? Put it in modern day terms, a bowl of red cabbage and South red beans. Huh? Sure did. Jacob once again. But I want to tell you, Jacob didn't twist his arm very bad. Now listen, Esau came in the field and the Bible said he was hungry. There Jacob was, and that's why I know his mama's boy, because he was at the stove cooking. He was cooking his red cabbage. Nothing wrong with men cooks. Some of the best cooks I know are men. Jacob must have been one of them. And Esau said, man, give me some of that stuff. Said, I will if you'll sell me your birthright. You know what Esau's response was? He said, listen, man, I'm fixing to die of starvation anyway. Okay, I'll sell you my birthright. Give me some of that stuff you're cooking. Now, I ask you this question. How many hunters have you ever known that starved to death? Daddy's most important attribute that he saw in that boy was the fact he was a good hunter and able to kill deer. If he was hungry, why didn't he say, Jacob, you must be out of your mind. I'm going to go out there and kill me a deer and cook, and you ain't getting none. Ain't that the way brothers are? Instead, he sold his blessing that has reference to the blessing of the Lord God of heaven to Abraham. He sold it for a bowl of red cabbage. And so I want to tell you, the regret that he experienced in life began with his own actions. Now, isn't that the same way we are? Neighbor, we're young and we're full of strength and energy and we think we know everything. We're just about as ignorant as a stump. We kick up our heels in life and we make a lot of mistakes that later on we live to regret. We can't blame nobody but ourselves. Isn't that right? And so Esau's regret, sure, Jacob was crooked. Sure, he was a trickster. But he didn't have to sell that birthright for a bowl of cabbage. He wouldn't have starved to death. You think Mama wouldn't have fixed him something? Sure she would have. It just goes to show you he placed absolutely no value on spiritual things. And so he sold his birthright and therefore he sacrificed the blessing of the Lord God of Abraham. What a tragic story of the regrets of this man that in any other circle would have been called a decent man. Now in chapter 27 of Genesis, in verse 37 there, he said that he had made him Lord over all of his brethren. This is what he said to Esau. And when he asked for an additional blessing, in verse 39, Isaac said this. Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. He continued to be the same type hunter that he was. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So here is the blessing that he gives Isaac, if you will. Part of it involves this. He said, you're going to serve your brother. Your descendants will. They'll be there, your brother's servants, just like I have blessed him and said that they would be. But there's going to come a time when you will kick off this yoke that he has upon you. That was the part of the blessing. Now, when Esau was born, they named him Esau. Why? How many remember why they named him Esau? Because he was hairy. And that's what the name Esau means, hairy. But after he sold his birthright for a bowl of cabbage, he caught a nickname. You know what that nickname was? It was Edom, which means red. It's a form of the word, same root from which the name Adam comes from, a red earth. So he got the nickname of Red, if you will. And he became father of all of the Edomites. Now I'm going to read you the fulfillment of the blessing that Isaac just gave to Esau about him serving his brethren and kicking off that yoke in 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 20. In the days of Jehoshaphat's son Joram, listen what the Bible says. In his days, Edom. Now who was Edom? That was Esau, the descendants of Esau. Revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. What did he say? When you have dominion. What is a dominion? It is a place where a king rules. When you have dominion, you'll kick off his yoke. So the blessing that Isaac pronounced upon Esau, it came to pass. They did serve the children of Israel till finally the nation of Israel became so disobedient that God allowed even the Edomites to kick off the yoke, the servant, the bondage, that they served unto the children of Israel. And so Esau, all he experienced in this issue was regret. But it was his own doings. His own doings. And so we see Jacob's reward, Esau's regret, but then we see God's resolve. Chapter number 28 and the first four verses, you know what happens? Isaac blesses Jacob again. Now here's what happened. Look, here's a man that thinks he's dying. He's declining physically. He's going through middle age crazy or something. In the process, he's allowing his physical problems to affect his mental problems and his spiritual outlook. And he's about to disobey God and bless the wrong boy when God's already said that that elder boy is going to serve that younger boy. Isn't that what he's fixing to do? How can you use him as an example of faith in Hebrews 11? By this. He came to his senses. He came to his senses and he realized, I want to tell you something, whatever God says is going to come to pass. I believe it. And so in Genesis 28, he begins to speak in absolute faith and strengthened about and convinced about what God has said about these two boys. Genesis 28 verse 1, and Isaac called Jacob, not Esau this time, and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Does it look to you like he's come to his senses? Yes, he has. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty, now that was a name that God had revealed to Abraham, and God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee, here it is, the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed, and with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. God used this horrible experience to bring Isaac's faith right back where it ought to be. So Isaac ultimately stood, and he did exactly what God had ordained should be done. He blessed the right boy. So what does that tell you? I'm going to tell you what it tells me. Faith works. Even when our faith falters, faith works. Even though Isaac sought to bestow the blessing upon his favorite son, Esau, his faith agreed with God, said about his sons exactly what he should have said. And he believed that God had ordained something in his word and that it was going to come to pass. Let me tell you, faith works. God remains faithful. Now I want to read you a verse in the book of 2 Timothy that demonstrates this reality. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Listen to this. It is a faithful saying. There's that word faith involved. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, that's Christ, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, He doesn't believe in us. Is that what it says? That ain't what it says. But it chronologically, and with common sense, wouldn't you think that's what it would say? But it does not. It says if we are dead with Him, we'll live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll deny us. If we believe not, listen, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You see what that says? That even when our faith is not what it ought to be in God, His faith in us yet remains. What does that tell you? Faith works. And so we see perfect agreement with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. You know what it says? He said, I'm convinced of something, Paul did, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Isaac's faith faltered. He was not what he used to be when he was a young man. I want to tell you something. God remained what He'd always been. Faithful to His people and faithful primarily and always to His Word. And so ultimately and finally in the life of Isaac, he stood and by faith he blessed these boys. No longer in trickery or deliberate disobedience, but by faith he blessed these boys. I want to tell you something. That gives me confidence. Amen. I may make a mess of things. I mean, my work and everything I'm involved in may just fall slap apart, but I want to tell you something. The work of God and the will of God will not fail. God is able to accomplish it and perform it. And if He can take these two boys with messed up priorities and messed up principles and accomplish what He wanted to do, you know what? I think that He can use us if we'll just have faith in what He said. And that's it. So I want to give you a little hope tonight. Faith works. If you had faith enough that saved you from a devil's hell by placing that much faith in Christ, how much more can that faith deliver us from the little difficulties and conflicts that we have in this life? It can. Faith. works. Father, thank you for your word, for these that have come to worship with us tonight, for the truths that, God, we've learned here in this place. Oh, God, primarily that, God, you are faithful. We do fail you so many ways. I've made so many mistakes. And God, I'm glad that you were able to work through them and around them. And you were able, God, to use me when, God, really, I wasn't of much use. And the same with these people, God. And I thank you for that. It's because of your faithfulness. And it works in our lives and that relationship that began at Calvary. Lord, when we met you there and you saved us, Lord, that same faith is going to carry us through. And God, in the end, we're going to be able to look through that eye of faith and say, yeah, I can look back at my life and see that where God did exactly what He said He would do. Help us now, God, to honor your word, to believe it absolutely, and to not think about going in a backward direction like these Hebrew Christians were, in order that our Father, our faith, might please you, because that's the only way, this side of eternity, that we'll ever do it. Oh, we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. All right. God bless you. Stand if you will. We'll sing a song before we go. Amen. We'll sing something out of the red book here.